Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And look at this. Totally consistent. From week to week, I get to hang out with really awesome people. And I just love that. And the awesome people with us today. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Thank you. My two brothers and I went to an Oakland A's baseball game last night, which is, it's kind of a soap opera. The A's are moving to Las Vegas, and so they're in sort of this transitional period where they still have to play in Oakland until their stadium is ready. And you kind of don't motivate fans to come to a game when you tell them you're moving. So the crowds are a bit thin.
You're in the breakup phase where
breakup phase. That's what
where you know they're moving out. They just don't have the place yet.
I mean, you get a deal on tickets while they're doing it. Then
no, everything is still the same price.
I caught a Red Sox game once. That was fantastic. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, Fenway Park is nice, but it was. I wanted to go to a game before they left because I have a lot of history. They're not my team, but you know, I live in the Bay Area and I remember them for the last 60 years. So kind of my fond farewell to the Oakland Athletics.
I don't really follow spectator sports, but over the years I've picked up how baseball works. And to me, going to a baseball game, it's a social event. And it just so happens there's some people out in the middle playing with bats and balls.
Yeah.
But you pick up along the way.
It's a bit like cricket, in fact.
Right. Well, here's how that ties in.
That kind of same pathway of there's a ball game happening over there, but there's people sat there drinking beer and eating picnics. So, yeah.
Yeah. Just like that, but without the swanky accents. Several years ago, I was at some media event that was in Denver, and part of what they were doing as the entertainment for all the journalists, they had bought up a whole block of seats at Coors Field for a Rockies game.
Oh, good.
And so we all go and we're sitting there and sitting with me are these two people from London and it's their first time in the US and
it'd be cool then.
And so we're sitting there and we're watching this game and they're asking me to explain what's happening. So I do my best, and I explain well enough what's going on.
Okay.
And they chuckle, and they said, "Oh, this is a child's game where we come from." And my first thought was, low intelligence level. What I don't get it. No, they meant children play this game. Yeah.
Rounders, softball is a game you play as a child. You don't tend to play it as an adult. That'll probably change at some point. But for me growing up, it was always, and rounders is played with a shorter bat. You know, it's something yay big. Not the big Louisville slugger type stuff. It's a much smaller thing. And it's an interesting thing. And we do have softball. Then we play with the Louisville slugger size ball. But then the ball is...
Yeah,
considerably bigger.
It's a much bigger ball.
It's a much bigger ball. And yeah, those are the ones that seem to come to us. And then, but of course, we've got cricket. So we've got the same sort of big hard leather ball, intimidating thing to be chucked at you by the sporty kids. And then you stand there scared as the not sporty kid holding the relevant bat. In this case, it is a bat. And you're trying to hit it without getting your knuckles smashed or anything. So yeah, it's not a lot different, really.
Now, in the US, you'll hear people complain about how long baseball games are, but then people in the UK laugh because a really long baseball game It's like the warm-up part for a cricket game.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well,
And I
actually,
am.
they changed the rules in baseball, so it's a much faster game now. The game
Oh.
hardly ever lasts, just barely over two, well, maybe 2 hours and 15 minutes.
We've
They
had.
put in some rules to keep it moving along. It's much better now.
Well, there's two different versions of cricket now. There's the more standard, the test match cricket, which is the full-on multiple day event, lots of going on, lots of sort of drawn out, painful games. And then there's 2020. So 20 overs you get to play each way. And that makes for a much faster game because people will play for every point, will drive to get every shot. And that can be fun to watch. I've been to a couple of those and they can be fun to watch because there's a bit more speed about it. There's a bit more the game's going to finish in 90 minutes an hour. There's more interest in getting the game flowing. So that's a better thing.
Well, to Jeff's point about baseball being a social event, there were two women sitting in front of us, and I'm pretty sure they looked at the field maybe four times during the entire game. They were just cha 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 cha, which is great. They had a great time.
Yeah. I enjoy every time I go to a baseball game. I cannot tell you who's actually playing, and I don't care.
Yeah, no, I've
Who's
I we had a
ballpark?
great time trying to work out what was going on. And once we worked it out and then gone, it's a bit cricketty, isn't it? Yeah. And then we sort of
What?
we got an idea and we followed along and it was good fun. And it was one of those things that when I come to the States, I like to go to see sports. I still need to see American football played in a
No, you really
stadium.
don't.
Yeah, you don't need to.
It is
Do not.
painfully tedious. It's like watching an executive boardroom meeting micromanaged with costumes.
Thank you, then you've saved me the bother. Because I mean, I like from my side of the world, I like rugby, so I don't mind watching a bit of rugby. And there's roots in American football as there is in our
Yeah,
rugby
that
league. So there's some there I'd understand when the game's running, but if the game's constantly stopping, wondering who's going to fall over first,
Yeah,
no, I won't bother
there's too
then.
much dead there's too much dead time. And
Right.
if you're
Yeah, and the
watching on.
game, the live game, when you're in the stadium, it stops when commercial breaks are on
Right.
television for the broadcast.
Yeah.
Right. So
So,
everybody's
oh, God,
sitting
so every
around for
10 minutes,
4
they're near
minutes.
enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I mean,
typically you
there is a
get some
spectacle to
play
it, but yeah.
and it doesn't last very long.
About 10 seconds, yeah.
And then everything just stops. And you wait and wait and wait. And then there's this whole thing with people standing around talking and having little meetings. And then there's like 10 seconds of activity. Oh, but now we have to stop because it's commercial break. And so everyone just waits around for 3 or 4 minutes, 5 minutes,
Watch
however
the
long
whole
the
game,
commercial
yeah.
break is. And but they will be playing commercials on the big screens in the stadium.
So you don't miss out on the opportunity to get your dollars.
Right. And
Oh no. No,
I've
I
been to
won't.
a
You
few
thank you.
football
Thank you,
games.
thank you most definitely. You spared me then a thing that I thought, well, that'll be all right. I mean, it won't be as bad because it should be flowing at least. No. In that case, I
It's
won't bother.
an event to go to with,
Yeah, I mean that's the
with
thing. I might probably want to
70,000
go with
people,
people I
but
know, but yeah.
the game itself is pretty cool. I just think the
Yeah.
best part of all of this is that of all the people at Coors Field, the 45,000 people, for these Brits to sit next to have baseball explained to them
It
by the
was me.
ref.
Yeah.
As with someone who couldn't be bothered, it doesn't
You
care.
know, there were 44,999 other people, Jeff, that they could have sat next to.
But it was me. Yep.
Yeah, so there's so will I so will I be will I hate basketball and will I hate
Oh, basketball is much better.
yeah, but basketball and ice hockey, they're the other two
Hockey, yeah, they keep
I'd
moving.
like to see. Again, I
Come
think I
to San
enjoy
Jose. I'll take you
generally.
to a Sharks game. I'll get you to a Sharks
I've
game.
been told that that if you want to go watch live basketball, women's basketball, like it's much more exciting than men's basketball. I don't know because I don't watch either, but that's what I've been
Well,
told by a few people.
it's more of a team sport where it's passing a ball, moving, passing a ball, moving. With the athleticism in men's, it's a lot of one-on-one, so it's like two guys going at each other, and the other eight guys are standing there looking at them. So it is a little bit different, but at least, you know, with hockey and basketball, at least the action's moving. Even in baseball, the game moves slow, but there's something happening all the time.
No, and it's one of those things. I'm not a huge sports fan, but to go to a sporting event in a city and watch it live happening is
Yeah, it's a
completely
lot of
different from sitting
fun.
and watching it on the TV.
Yeah.
I mean, like I'm not a big football fan here, but I've been numerous times to various soccer football matches here, and I've always enjoyed the sort of the spectacle and the whole atmosphere of the thing. So it's kind of on that list of things to tick off I quite like to do, to say, yeah, I did that. I mean, like, I've been to a basketball game. I probably won't ever go again, but I've been, and it was an interesting day out. I had a great big tub of popcorn and a massive drink and all those kind of things. But it was a lot of fun. And a dodgy looking hot dog.
Yeah, that this checks out.
That's
You
the
know,
same as here. We have dodgy pies. It's no different.
I really enjoy my time on this sports podcast. It's one of my favorite.
Well, I always enjoy bringing people on so that I can regale them with my Wikipedia level knowledge of all sports. So we've been chatting long enough. Ian, I don't even remember if I said hi to you yet.
You
Did
didn't, but
I?
it doesn't really matter. I do have news this week. I have traveled to the dark side. I have a phone that is not Apple.
Ooh.
I have one that is made by Google. I decided I'd give one of the Pixels a go because I had a little fiddle with it, and it's got a really nice camera. It's got what looks like a good operating system from when I initially picked it up. I thought, well, yeah, that looks interesting. I haven't used an Android device in 5 years, maybe. So I thought, yeah. And to be honest, God, it's come a long way in 5 years in terms of
Yeah.
being a much more, on a phone anyway, a much more seamless, fairly normal experience, that I'm not missing any app that I've used before. The only thing I'd really like is that new message, the messaging standard, to get adopted by Apple, so I can start sending picture messages to my wife again without it being a faff. That's the only thing so far, but I'll use WhatsApp for that, so it's not really the end of the world.
I don't think
I'll
that's
see.
really going to change. Because Google's doing their own version of the
RC,
whole
whatever it is, isn't it?
thing.
RCM, RCT,
Yes. Yeah,
RCS,
RCS.
RCS. That's the guy.
Yeah, Google's doing their own version. Apple is going to follow the current standard, which is not the Google fork. Which means that the complete interactivity, excuse me, compatibility between the two that Android users are hoping for, it's not going to be there.
Oh, well,
Just use
I should.
WhatsApp.
I still have WhatsApp. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah, there you go. I think
So
WhatsApp is still a better choice for that.
I have
Is it
WhatsApp. It doesn't matter.
a Pixel 8, Ian?
No, I went for 7 because I bought mine used. I'm not one for buying the latest and greatest. I usually go a version behind. So this is a 7. I mean, there's some stuff there I do like. The screen will rotate nicely. There's lots of little things that Apple used to not let me do that this will. Just in terms of the interactivity between applications, that's kind of nice. That's what Android gives you, kind of thing. It's the camera seems quite nice in my limited playing. One other trick I've got to work out now is how to get my photos out of iPhoto and into something like OneDrive
Google Photos.
or Google Photos.
There
Is there a transition-y tool that's useful?
are transition tools to go both directions. And since I haven't had to do what you need to do, I can't tell you what any of them are off the top of my head. But yes, the tools that you need, they are there.
I'll have
Well,
a
you
look
could.
around. I've had a quick look, but I couldn't see anything immediately. I'll see if I can find something. I mean, I can't really. If I get a year's worth of photos over, that'll be fine. I can get to everything and something immediate, and then, or even the couple of months worth would be fine just to have on that side of things. I can leave the rest of them in iPhoto, which will then be on my iPad anyway. So that's fine. One place or another, I can get to them.
Yeah.
So
And
I
you
can
can
work. I
do
can
it.
always work around. I can always work around it. That's why I'm a technologist.
Right. Yeah, we know people.
I know people. I'm a technologist. I'll work around it. I'll figure a way out.
Well, you know, as long as we're here on the sports show,
Yeah.
why don't we mix it up a little bit and talk some tech too?
Yeah, there you go. Shots fired.
And it looks like
And it is
Ian.
shots, and it is shots fired as well.
All right, tell us about your story.
Google is in bother again in the EU. This is not news,
Uh-oh.
but this is more one that's actually coming to fruit now rather than it being just lots of saber rattling. There's a lawsuit been doing the rounds by one by a collective called the AdTech Collective Action, which have been after Google for monopolizing the ad industry. And finally, it's got to a point where a court's looked at this and go, yeah, there's a reasonable case there that needs to be aired in court. And if they reckon it's worth something like $13 billion, no, 13 billion quid, £13 billion in revenue.
Wow.
So Alphabet are going to get a lot of, they reckon the case was incoherent, but it is, you know, that Google has more or less monopolized the, and I think the States, I think there's a similar thing going on as well, isn't there? Where again, Google is effectively monopolizing the ad market. More of Cory Doctorow's shitification of things, where they're squeezing every last dollar out of everything you can see.
Well, Google
So,
definitely changed the entire online ad space years ago,
well, they
which,
invented it near enough, didn't they?
yeah, well, they invented the more automated trackable version of it, because before that, you would like say you were the New York Times. You had your ad department, and then they would get advertisers. And then the website would have a way for the newspaper to insert their own ads. And then Google comes along with AdSense, and they create a way to market and automate and track all of this, and it completely changed everything, which now we have the whole thing where Google basically is the boss of all online advertising and cookies. I mean, to the point where Google says we're deprecating cookies, and that means for the whole internet. And everyone's like, okay, so now we're doing something else. And just because one company said, yeah, we're deprecating that.
It's fascinating to look at this when you look at the article. They talk about how thing called self-preferencing.
Yeah, that's the real key.
So Google will drive their own ads to the top of the queue, excluding others. And it's being and they're being funded by others. So it almost says that all UK publishers for the in our example here for the UK get dropped to the bottom of the list. So you won't see those first, if at all. So that's where there's not a fair, I mean, I think the advertiser would say, if I've got a fair crack of the whip of when someone does a search for toilet rolls for bananas or whatever, that my result for my shop comes up somewhere near the top, that's fine. I mean, if I've done my due diligence for my SEO, I should expect to get somewhere near there. That's fine, but they don't have that chance because they're almost getting punted down because of Google's preferences. So that's bad. It's taken 18 months to get to this point and no court date's been set. So who knows really what will happen. But it's yet another sort of thing of we're not, Google cannot, the big three, big four companies cannot continue to monopolize the internet.
Well, it's that old thing. I don't know about EU law, but it's that old thing about it's not illegal to be a monopoly. It's illegal to engage in monopolistic practices and
That's right. If
preferring
you're the
your
best at
own
something, yeah.
products over other people is a monopolistic practice. But I think it's going to be big show number 14,223, where we talk about the resolution of this case. Like you said, it's taken 18 months just to get here.
And to be honest, we'll talk about this again this year and we'll talk about it again next year and it will continue to pop up. I continue to find it interesting, this sort of thing, and I've continued to follow it, but it just seems to be that every so often there's a new court case with there's also another one, another digital law that's come into force in the EU and the UK in the last couple of weeks, which will have some ramifications on the way that Google and Microsoft and Meta and Apple work within the EU and the UK. So there will be more of these little stumbling blocks and little things where they have to look at what's going on. I think WhatsApp may disappear over here eventually if it continues to say, well, you can't encrypt messages from end to end unless we have the keys. Because Meta are just going to go, no.
And yet,
And that'll be the end of it.
and if Meta does that, okay, well, actually, good on Meta,
Yeah, no,
because,
I'd be happy with them than I was before, you know.
yeah, I mean, saying that that the government or any other entity needs to have the keys for end-to-end encryption for all messages means there's no encryption.
Yeah. Just once
That's
they're
why
there, they can be
long
leaked.
term, any of those laws, they may get them passed and they may go after somebody, but long term, there's no way that stuff is going to stand.
No,
They should
all it
do it.
does is harm the honest people,
Yeah.
because
Yeah.
now they don't have the safety that comes along with the encryption. The bad guys will still have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you want to talk about something that would cause a massive shift in users from one application to another, let's say WhatsApp and Facebook decide, sure, we'll put in a back door for you. How many people are going to leave WhatsApp? I mean, it'd take a while.
It'll
But as
take a
soon as
while, but a
they,
lot of
it'll take
people
a
will
while, but
leave.
we'll take
Yeah,
our
of
tinfoil
course.
hats and we'll go off to
I
tip.
would leave immediately. But, you
Yeah,
know, for
I
normies,
will.
it might take them a year or two. And then some other app will come in with end-to-end encryption with no back door.
Yep.
Actually, so we should all trap up. We'll all traipse off to Signal or Telegram
Right.
with our
Yep.
tinfoil hats on.
Well, this story, yes, it's going to drag
It
on, and
is.
we'll be talking about it in future episodes. And actually, now that I'm saying that, mark my words, this will be one of the questions on the holiday quiz. I will get the
Yeah.
question and I won't know the answer.
I won't remember the number, I guarantee it.
But since this will go on for 3 or 4 years, you'll get multiple chances to get the answer right
I won't,
over
yeah. At least
multiple
one time we'll
test
get it right.
quizzes. Yeah.
Yeah, I will have multiple opportunities to screw it up.
Well, I
Yep.
think, you know, this is kind of like the Spotify with the podcast, you know, their monopoly on the podcast, ad insertion, data tracking stuff. Any time that somebody controls so much, you know, 80%, it's almost inevitable they're going to engage in monopolistic practices. And, you know, I think this is what we're going to see with all these big companies is there's going to be more and more lawsuits and regulations. They have to. These guys are getting just too big and too powerful. But, you know, it's like the railroads in the US in whatever, 1890. They're just too powerful.
Yeah, the whole thing with the rail barons, the steel barons, and the coal
Right.
barons
Oil barons, yeah.
and
Same
oil
thing.
barons. Yep.
We know how this movie ends, I think.
Right. And at some point there will be a close up on the guillotine. Yep. All right, so Tom, what do you have for us?
My story this week is about the Zoom CEO talking about some fantastic AI features and his vision for AI features in Zoom. And I guess my take on this was sort of the CEO being the visionary kind of PR stuff, you know, to get your shareholders revved up since their business is slowing down a little bit. But basically, his point is, you know, sometime in the future, who knows when, instead of you having to attend all your Zoom meetings, if you create a bot using an LLM, which is trained on your previous Zoom calls, you can basically have a clone of yourself at 10 meetings where you don't really need to be there. You know, that's what he said. So there are a couple, you know, the idea being, well, I'm just kind of a peripheral participant in this meeting. I got three other meetings at the same time. I'll send my bot to this one, which, I mean, can you think of anything more ridiculous? And some of the quotes are priceless, right? He says, every morning I wake up, an AI will tell me, Eric, you have five meetings scheduled today. You do not need to join four of the five. Well, okay, then why are we
Then they
doing that?
should have been emails.
Right.
Yep, absolutely.
You only need to join one. You can send a digital version of yourself to the others. You know, he
How
says
long
sometimes I.
before they have meetings where it's all digital
All
avatars,
AI.
and
That's
now
what I was thinking.
people are expected to follow up on the rando stuff that their avatars created?
And then
Yes.
this is my favorite quote. Sometimes I don't join a sales call with customers. Really? The CEO says, sometimes I don't join a sales call with customers. I know my weakness before sending a digital version of myself. I know that weakness. So the CEO of Zoom says one of his weaknesses is talking to customers. That's great. I can modify the parameter a little bit for that meeting and say, hey, tune that parameter to have better negotiating skills and send that version to the customer. Whatever he's drinking, I want some of that.
That sounds like all kinds of nonsense that we want nothing to do with.
I mean, I know, you know, the CEO vision pitch is always a bunch of crap, but this is going to open him up for so much ridicule.
But and rightly so.
Yes.
So I guess that, you know, the challenge, as opposed to a Apple or Microsoft or Google or Facebook, you know, you don't really control that much as a video conferencing platform. So
I
coming
mean,
up
you
with a
can do
vision,
actual avatar.
you know
You can
that.
turn yourself into an avatar, can't you, in Teams and a few of the other ones?
Yeah, but
But not like
the
this.
question is, what is the big vision as a CEO of a video conferencing platform that you would want to lay out, right, to keep up with the Apples and Googles and Microsoft? I don't know.
It's how to successfully avoid going to meetings.
Which is the whole premise of your business?
Right. And can you imagine you're having a job evaluation and they say, so during these three meetings, these are the suggestions that you pushed and pushed hard. And they were horrible. All of them turned out to be unmitigated disasters. So that's going to reflect poorly on this evaluation. And you're like, wait, I wasn't even in those meetings.
Was my
It was my
avatar did it.
avatar.
So your Zoom avatar employee evaluation.
Right.
Your Zoom avatar becomes the blame dummy, the one you can say,
Oh
I
my
know he did
God.
it. It was him.
Oh my God. I didn't think about that.
That's
Yeah,
crazy
your
ridiculous.
performance review based on your avatar performance.
No.
I mean, but I mean, can you imagine also you're in a meeting, but it's your boss who sent their avatar? And the avatar starts assigning projects and tasks to people. And so now people are doing these ridiculous things because the boss said I had to. And then the actual boss is like, what the hell are
What the
you
hell? What
doing?
were you doing? Well, that's when you bring up the transcript of the meeting. It says your bot said to do it, right? Oh my God. But clearly, this is ridiculous. But I guess it was interesting to me because it made me think, what kind of vision would the Zoom AI, Zoom CEO lay out? You know, what is it about video conferencing? I guess the point is they should know something that. You know, as the CEO of a video conferencing platform, you should have some ideas that are a bit more realistic. You know?
Yeah, you would think. Well, maybe this idea came from his avatar. And now he's
Didn't
committed.
think about that. Yeah, I didn't think about that. You're probably right.
Yeah. Well, since it's the three of us, it means that there's time for me to drop in a story today, too.
Yeah.
Jeff's story.
Yeah. All right. So my story. It comes from 9to5 Mac, but it's not an Apple story. Just to be clear, it's an Adobe story. So Adobe just changed the terms and conditions for using the Creative Cloud apps. And
Again?
yeah, and people are flipping their lids because the terms now mean that Adobe has full access to all the content that you create in their Creative Suite apps. And basically, they can use any way they want. And the implication is that Adobe's going to take all the content everyone's creating, use it to train their own models, create advertising opportunities. And when I say models, I mean their AI and LLM models. People are like flipping because it means that stuff that you're working on under a non-disclosure agreement or that's highly proprietary in some other way, Adobe now has full access and full rights to all of that content.
Yeah, that's a really tricky one. That point about you're doing work under NDA for a customer and now Adobe has rights. But my favorite is the way they word it, solely for the purposes of operating or improving the services and software. That could be anything.
That can mean anything, like training
Yeah,
generative AI
models.
models. Now, Adobe, they got in hot water with something like this several years ago, and it was with their online image management and sharing service, Behance, I believe. So,
I've
you
heard
know,
that
think of
name.
it like Flickr for professionals, sort of thing. And the wording of the license gave Adobe full ownership of any content you would put on Behance.
Yikes.
And people freaked out. And it turns out that's not how they meant it. Like, that's really not how they meant it. They just needed to have the license to host and display the images. But the lawyers would put it in language that gave Adobe full ownership of your content. And they fixed that very quickly. So what I'm hoping is that this is another case where there were overzealous lawyers who created wording that doesn't honor the spirit of and the intent of what Adobe needed.
That's very possible. You know, the person who was pushing this had no nefarious intent. You hand it to the lawyers and they come up with a statement for the terms and service that makes it nefarious. And
And
I'm sure
for
that person is now going to the lawyers and say, "See, I told you this was going to happen."
I told you. And for users, it feels like a strong arm move because it's not like you're doing anything different. You just launch a Creative Suite app today or yesterday, and a new dialogue pops up. Hey, new terms of service. And you have to agree before you can continue. And there are people who have said, well, that's it. I am out. I'm going to stop using Adobe products because this violates the contracts that I have with my clients. You can't use the Adobe uninstall tool until after you agree to the new terms.
Yeah, I like that part. You can't even
I saw
uninstall
that
until
the
you agree
boxes
to the terms.
agree to this, or you can't get into your app.
Or even uninstall
And there's no X on that. If that window's a screenshot that's in your article,
it.
there's no X for you to close out and go, nope, not having that.
No, there is no way to go beyond that dialogue without agreeing to it.
Oh boy, Adobe, you have done something very stupid. And as the guy who's the designer who works for DC and Nike, he just says, "I mean, I've got NDAs. I can't possibly agree to that. No, nope, tough. We'll take all my Adobe products are going to go away."
So Adobe, like a
Silly,
lot of
silly
companies,
company.
have made missteps like this in the past. It's like when they went from perpetual to subscription licenses and everybody got pissed off. And some number of people leave. The question is, if they don't fix this and respond like Jeff, you suggested, you know, how they did after Behance, where would people go?
Well, if on Windows, I'm not sure, but I know there are options. Like on well, actually, is it cross-platform? I'm using the Affinity suite of apps from Serif,
I've heard good things about that.
and it's great. And I quit using the Creative Cloud apps years ago because for my needs, it didn't make sense fiscally for me to be using the Creative Cloud suite. So I was like, all right, well, this is not the right tool set for my use. And I switched over to Serif's Affinity Suite, and that's worked great for me for years. And actually, hold on, why don't I just look
See if they have
and
Windows.
see if,
Yeah, you can have all
oh,
apps,
yeah,
no
Mac, Windows,
subscription.
and iPad.
What? Yeah,
There
I've
you
just jumped
go.
on there now. You can have everything for 160 quid. And so
Yeah,
you get designer,
so
photo, and
it's a
publisher, all you
perpetual
need.
license, and the and you can create fully Creative Cloud compatible files.
So what kind of apps do they have? Is it like they have equivalents of Lightroom and Photoshop and all that?
But Photoshop, Illustrator, and InDesign.
Yeah,
There, I
because you
just
just
dropped a
wonder
link into the
if,
chat.
you know, the challenge with dealing with these companies is they have that stickiness because so many people have used Photoshop or Lightroom or whatever over 20 years, and they have all this muscle memory built in. So the switching costs, if you're trying to run a commercial business that relies on, let's say, Photoshop, and you have 20 people in your company using Photoshop, and now you got to switch, that's a big deal. But
Well, I mean,
you'll do it if
there
you
are
have
other
to.
considerations too. Like, let's say you're using a lot of the collaborative tools that Adobe created. Switching to something like the Affinity Suite, that's not going to be an option. You're locked into Creative Cloud for that.
Yeah, but you know, if it gets bad enough, people will figure out a way to switch.
Yeah, you have to hit that pain point where for you, it's a big enough of an issue that you're willing to make a change.
Yeah, I mean, I worked at a company that in 1998 switched from Macs to PCs. You know, we had 500 or 600 employees at the time. We had to switch 500 employees from Macs to Windows. It was a little bumpy, to
Yeah.
say the
A
least.
little
A little
bumpy. It was
bumpy, yeah.
probably brutal for a while.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah. So anyhow, there you go. Adobe, you're going to have to change your terms and conditions so that it reads more clearly. And
Hopefully they do that, yeah.
yeah. And yeah, when it happened before, they were pretty quick to roll out a statement saying this is not the intent of these terms and service conditions, and this is the actual intent, and we're having the wording changed to reflect that. And then when it was changed, they made another announcement and said, here are the new terms that reflect what we really intended, and everyone moved on, feathers a
Hopefully
little
not for
ruffled.
them. Yeah. So we should start a betting pool on the over under about how long it'll take for them to come up with a statement and issue it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the other option is they actually do want to have total control of all this content so that they
Maybe they
can
do.
use it for training and other acts where you're paying them, and then you're also giving them content that allows them to generate more money off of you.
Again,
Well,
that just boggles the mind how much that every business now seems to want to wring every last dollar out of every possible consumer, right? Not being content with, we've got that, we can do that. We're not going to take everything else you create and then make money off that too. No, you've sold me a thing that I can make money from.
I mean,
Just madness.
it's things like this that just are really behind the motivation of outlying basically selling data. I mean, this is a case of using data, but ultimately they're going to make money off of it. So, you know, data
Absolutely.
brokers, this kind of thing. Yeah, sure, you can use all my photos and everything I make if when you come up with that new AI feature based on it, you give me your royalty. Sure.
Yeah, if I agree to this and you pay me a small royalty every time you use some of my data
A
in
large
some of your
royalty.
work, Absolutely.
It's great.
No, if you're going to use a vast quantity of it, you're going to I'll have 10p on every on every time you've used my thing 1,000 times. That still works out all right. It's just what you want. It's how to make it work. If that's going to have to be the model.
What is it if you're not, well, I guess that doesn't work in this case. If you're not paying for this service, what is it?
I mean, you flip it the other way
Yeah.
around. If you give me the
You
software for free, if I give me the software for free and say that you will possibly mine my data for future
yeah.
use,
Yeah. Yeah.
then kind of you're kind
Get
of
my
you're in the
subscription down to $1 a month. Sure, you can go through
Yeah,
all this
if you're
stuff.
not paying for it, you are the product.
Yeah,
That's it.
But
That's it, right?
Adobe now is saying you're paying for it
Both.
and you're the product. Microsoft has been
Yeah.
doing it for a while too with Windows,
Absolutely. Yep.
which is so annoying.
Yep.
And they're not the only two companies
Oh no,
that are
not at all.
doing this. Yeah. It's so frustrating. And unlike TSO Host, no frustration there. And why can I so adamantly say no frustration with TSO Host? Well, it's because they offer rock solid web hosting services, and they offer great prices, and they have great customer support. So you put all that together, and how can you go wrong? Now, what they're doing is taking what they do so well, and saying, you know, it'd be really cool to do something for the community. And so they do that by supporting us. TSO Host gives us the web hosting space we need. So there's a place for the British Tech Network website to live. They give us the server space we need so that there's a place for all the show recordings to live so you can watch or listen to episodes whenever you want. And they're giving us the bandwidth so that we can live stream multiple shows to you every single week. The resources for all of this, it's kind of bonkers just what it really takes to bring all this together. And it would be beyond what we would be able to manage to make happen on our own. But thanks to the generous support of TSO Hosts, it happens. So thank you, TSO Hosts, for being here and supporting us. Now, all of you, please go out online and thank TSO Hosts for being here and supporting us as well. It's all we really need to do. Just show them a little online love so that they know that we really do appreciate what they're doing. It's easy. It's a small ask. Just go do it, please. And that's all it takes. If though you do need to buy some domain names, well, they make it easy and they give you good prices. So why not use TSO Host for that? Just get your domains and you're like, oh, after today's show, Jeff's prosportsadvice.com. Yeah, we could get that.
Oh,
And throw it in the cart. And even though we've already got a good deal on that, throw in the discount code BTN20. So you get an extra 20% off the order. If you need web hosting, throw that in there too. Whatever. But use that discount code BTN20. So thank you, TSO Hosts, for supporting us and being so generous like that. And with that, this is where I would turn to Patrice and say, hey, Patrice, would you tell people about the live chat? Because she does that so well. I feel like I've got a nice smooth delivery for talking about TSO Hosts. And then I go off the rails when it comes time to talk about the chat. But she's got that smooth delivery down. But we'll see how close to the tracks I stay. All right. So we've been talking about different stories today, and the links for all those end up in the live chat. And then when we started talking about Affinity and the Affinity suite, I went and found the website and threw a link in to that as well. This is where you can talk with us in real time while we're recording a show. And it's also where you can see the links for all the articles we discuss and the cool things that are coming up as well. And it's great. So to do that, you go to I've got my rule that I figured out. At the time, you're at the beginning. Afterwards, you're at the end.
Very good.
So that means chat.britishtechnetwork.com. That's where you go to hop in and join us in the live chat. Excuse me. All right. So after the fact, you're watching or listening to a show recording. Well, being in the live chat won't help you very much because the show's now in the past and you're in the future, and we haven't figured out how to do the non-linear time thing yet. So our workaround for that is all of the chats from live shows, they stay online so you can find them anytime you want. So for that, britishtechnetwork.com/chat.
Very good.
See, my little brain trick is
Yeah,
working.
I like that. I like your memory mechanism. That's a good one.
And thank you. So anyhow, go there, and there's this really cool calendar that Patrice set up, and you find the date for the show. So today would be June 6th, 2024, and we have all of these live chat transcripts, if you will, going back to, I think, 2015. So you can go back years and see incredibly stupid things that I've said.
It
But
was for
anyhow,
all of
that
us.
the yeah. Turns out the
Mm-hmm.
internet's forever. Oh. Anyhow, yeah, use that calendar, click on the date, and then you can find the show on that date on the calendar. Click on that, and then you see everything that everyone typed. It's all just right there. Super easy to do. And wow, I get so stressed doing this part because it's the part that I just feel like I have never really mastered in the
Well, you
way
got it
Patrice
down
has.
now with that little memory
Yeah.
trick. I think you nailed it
Yeah, I
now.
think you're getting there now.
Yeah, well, it's only taken how many years for me to get to this point? Man.
It's all about the journey, Jeff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, tell that to Frodo. Yeah. Okay. Anyhow, there you go. The whole live chat thing. Thank you, TSO host, and all that. And now let's do some cool things.
Cool things.
Cool things. My window gone. Where's my cool things button? There it is.
Tom, you're first.
Oh, first out of the gate today. Okay. My cool thing is podcast. It's from a podcast called Acquired, which is a couple of guys. I forget their names. I don't remember their names. A couple of guys, Ben and David, who do a lot of podcasts about the history of companies and how they got to where they are and all that kind of stuff. And some of them are interesting. They're a little bit too, it's like they're kind of fanboys sometimes of the companies. But they do podcasts where it's just them and they give the history and go through interesting things about new companies. But in this case, they had done a series on NVIDIA, and then they were actually able to interview Jensen Huang, who is the CEO of NVIDIA. So this episode that I pointed
Nice.
to is it's about an hour and a half interview with Jensen Huang. And I think it was done at the time, probably around GTC, when he was doing a lot of PR. And it was interesting to hear from kind of the horse's mouth some points and key points in time in the history of NVIDIA and what was going through their head, going from a startup just trying to survive with massive competition from other graphics card suppliers, graphic chip suppliers that were servicing the game market, to the Bitcoin boom and now the AI boom and some of the decisions they had to make and some of the live or die moments that all companies have. And they literally had at least one or two live or die moments. It's pretty interesting to hear. We all think of the Apple live or die moment when they had to get money from Microsoft. Well, Jensen talks about a couple of moments at NVIDIA that, made them survive. And I do have a little bit of history with NVIDIA. They were a customer, and I do remember some of the times when they were those break points. And I have a huge amount of respect for Nvidia. Jensen's a CEO, he's a self-promoter, that kind of stuff, but he's a pretty impressive guy.
That's very cool. All right. I'll check it out. And Ian, how about your cool thing?
My cool thing is my new phone. It might as well be. I can figure it's interesting. I made the move, as I said earlier on, if you were there for, when we were talking earlier, from Android to from iOS to Android, and it's been relatively painless. The tools were easy to use to transfer most of my stuff over. I had a few glitches with some little bits transferring over, but I'm a techie guy, so it's fine. And the camera's impressive. The Android operating system seems a lot. I mean, it must have been about five versions since I've last seen Android running on a device and used it in anger. And it's come a long way since the last one I've looked at. It's much more nailed together, much more responsive. And the tools are all there, and it seems a little bit better connected sometimes than iOS when they're each kind of way of sandboxing each app from each other and everything else, which can be a frustration at times when you're just trying to get some file into some other thing to be able to do something with it. It's this sort of you get away from that here. And it is good. I mean, to be fair, I think in 2024, it's a bit difficult to pick between them, but almost in a way of it's what you prefer. They both are going to do a pretty much similar job. And as I've said before, I'm not a demanding user in terms of games and things. My mind is functionality, camera, some ability to answer emails, some ability to send messages. It does a good job.
Awesome. I like that we have competition and choices in the smartphone space.
Well,
And Ian, you're doing a thing where it's easy for you to try out phones without having to make like a multi-year commitment because you found some company where it's like every year you can like
This time I
get
didn't.
a
I
different
bought this one.
phone.
I bought this one used, but I have done in the past rent them from a company here, which is a great way to do it. There's a company in the UK, I'll give them a plug, they're called Music Magpie. They only rent two types of handsets, Samsung and Apple. So if you want to, you could. Because I considered, but I'm not keen on Samsung's overlay on top of the default Android operating system. It's a bit clunky, to be honest. I just find it not as good as working directly with the native app, if you like. So I didn't go that way. But there's you can rent those. I mean, I saw the current the one generation behind current was for about the same cost as my 14 Plus. And that was probably what was going to be my option, or I was going to go to a 14 Pro Max and get that for about the same money and keep that for a year. That's why I'm changing now, because it's again that year. But I added it up and I looked at, well, I spend 30 odd pounds a month. So times that by 12, what gives me that budget for a phone? Let's see if I can find something decent for about under 400 quid. And I did. I went, well, that's fine. I'll buy that and I'll keep it a couple of years. And then when I get fed up, I'll see what else there is. I mean, just recently that Google do an awful lot of really good deals to get people to trade up from their older model to the newer one. I know my daughter-in-law has just taken a Pixel 4 or 5 she had before, I think it was, and did a trade in and got an 8 for a really good deal.
Nice.
So there's always a way if you there's always a path. If not, I'll go back to Apple. And I'm lucky because I have a work phone. My work phone, I said, well, I'll have that can be an iPhone. So my work phone's an iPhone. This one's a I can have I've got the best of both worlds. So I can play with both still.
Nice.
I think if Google made a sustained effort to be consistent on releasing Pixel phone updates every year, supporting the OS, doing bug fixes, I think they would be such a serious contender versus Apple.
The eights they're
Because
talking
like you
about a
said,
long-term support this time around for the first time in a
yeah,
long
well,
time.
they've talked about it a lot, right? But talking about it and doing it, right, are two different things. And I'm with you on the Samsung. Samsung's phones hardware is really nice, but that overlay software crap they put on there just is horrible. I don't have a ton of experience, but enough to not like it. And I've seen Pixel phones. They're great.
Yeah,
I
you're
don't want to
getting
buy a
native.
phone that I don't want to buy a phone where the, bug fix updates are going to be stopped after 2 years.
Cool. All right.
Yeah, because on Saturday I went round and had a look at the phone stores and had a look at some of the different handsets, and that was one of the things that drew me to the Pixel, if you like, because you play with all this crap and you decide to go, ah, this is too much junk there, I don't need that. And that sort of said no Samsung for me then. They did that, I'm back to another Apple.
All right. So now my turn. And I would do this pick tomorrow, except tomorrow we're doing keynote poker on the Mac show because on Monday, Apple is hosting their keynote presentation for their Worldwide Developer Conference. So this pick is happening today because it's timely. And it's an open source Mac app called ICE. And it's a menu bar manager for the Mac in the Finder. And the reason I'm bringing this as my cool things because I've just started using it. The reason I've just started using it is because I've been a longtime bartender user,
Bartender's
which
dead, huh?
is a stunningly amazing app and so many great improvements over the years. It's indispensable for me. And yet I had to dispense of it because there's a lot of concern about safety and privacy with the program right now because the developer sold it, new company has it, and the only way we found out was when a software update rolled out and there was a new app authentication certificate for it.
That's
And
they didn't
not
make any
good.
announcement.
No announcements. And then people start doing some digging and they're finding out that there's some new code in the app that links back to some sort of tracking analytic thing.
I'll be
And
uninstalling that from the mini then when I get onto the mini.
Well, wasn't there some issue with the opaqueness of who actually owns it now, right?
there is we know the name of the company as of last night or yesterday afternoon, but the new owners of the company, they weren't saying anything,
That's a bad
and
sign.
we so they've owned them for a couple months, and you can look at the blog for the website and see just by looking at blog posts when the switchover happened, because the blog posts went from being useful information about using the app and updates and stuff to these clearly SEO focused posts,
That's too
and
bad.
in many cases kind of worthless posts. And then the owner of the company, the new owners, they apparently hopped into to some chats that were going on online about what's going on, but they would never identify who they actually were. And it wasn't until a day or so ago when the guy that originally owned the application wrote a small blog post on his own or spoke to someone, I don't know. But anyhow, the word got out that from him, yes, I sold it. And the company that bought it, I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but when I saw the company name, I was like, oh, they don't have the best track record. And so a lot of people, because a very critical trust was broken, because a tool like this needs access to your computer on a level where it could be very compromising, meaning it could be gathering all kinds of proprietary information, stuff that's protected under a non-disclosure agreement, whatever. So until this whole thing is sorted out, I don't feel safe using the app that I rely on every day. So I discovered ICE, which is an open source menu bar manager. It is not as full featured as a bartender, but a lot of the bartender type features are on the roadmap. It's under active development. And so I grabbed it off of GitHub, installed it, and now I feel like I'm using Bartender from several years ago. But at least I have the basic functionality I need, which is a way to manage all the junk that ends up in my menu bar. And it's free.
Even better, best price.
I kind of like the transition from bartender to ice. You know, next it'll be shot
Right.
glass, bar
Yeah.
stool.
I don't think the developer of ICE had that link in mind. However, I like it. Yeah, there's another app very similar to this on the Mac App Store, and I think it's called I can't even remember now. Hidden Bar, maybe.
I was
And
another. I played with a couple of those at one point. It
Speakeasy.
could be Hidden Bar. Yeah, you could be right about Hidden Bar.
I
I
like
think I'm gonna write
Speakeasy.
an app called Speakeasy.
Yeah, the Hidden Bar app, assuming that's what it's actually called, and I think it is. That one hasn't been updated in like 3 years, I think. So I'd rather use something that has active development happening. And then maybe this will all get sorted out and I'll switch back to Bartender.
Jeff, you just need to come over to the window side. You don't need a bar.
No, I don't
Right.
need any of that madness here.
And then I don't need to worry about finding anything because Recall is going to take care of it for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and they'll
Actually,
sell it to the nearest bidder, to the highest bidder. What could be better?
right, you could ask your neighbor what you were doing yesterday because they will have the data.
They will. Yeah. That's called backing up your content, right?
That's right. That's right.
Absolutely. That's an
A
offsite backup right there.
global backup service, but at least you're managing your menu bar will not be a problem.
Yes, so there's that. All right. Well, it's time to wrap up. So
Indeed.
thank you to both of you for being here and making my Thursday just so much fun. And I'm
No
looking forward to
problem.
next week already.
Yeah, it's always good fun.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, where can people find you?
People can find me on Mastodon. I am Tom F at sfba.social. Thanks, Jeff.
Awesome. And Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me here on the big show on a Thursday and in the Slack room. And I'm, as my usual places, on LinkedIn. Ian Grant, look for me there.
Awesome. All right. Then for me, the list is a little bit longer. Social media. I'm Jay Gamut on everything. Mastodon, Instagram. I'm active. And then for shows, Tuesdays, Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live. Thursdays, Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS. Then here on the British Tech Network, Thursdays on the Big Show, Fridays on the Mac Show. Don't forget, tomorrow is Keynote Poker Day. So be sure and tune in to see just how horribly wrong my predictions will be on what Apple will announce. Yeah, it'll be fun. And then Brent Chaffin and I, we do the Context Machine. And new show to remind you about, Patrice and I have started a podcast called Retro Rewatch. And the premise of the show is Patrice was appalled to find out that there are certain popular TV shows that I never saw. And apparently the only remedy for the distress this causes is to have a podcast. So we started a show.
To
She's
make you watch it, yeah.
to make me watch. And so she'll rewatch the episodes. I'll watch them for the first time. And then we talk about our reactions to the shows.
And you know what's best about that show is because Patrice posted about it on LinkedIn, we got to learn about how ridiculously stupid the AI features of the standard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Find out more about
Oh.
Jeff Gamet. Find out how podcasting can help you.
Yeah. But hey, you know, that little find out about Jeff Gamet thing, it sure
Pretty
made me sound
accurate.
impressive.
Yeah, it was very good.
Yeah. So, all right. I think I hit all the where to find us stuff. So that means it's now time to say thank you to everyone that watches and listens live, participates in the live chat. You're all awesome, and I'm so glad you're here. And everyone that watches or listens to the shows later, thank you for being part of all of this. All of you, you're fantastic, wonderful people, and I'm glad we're all part of the BTN family. And speaking of that BTN family, Ewan, thank you for being you. And Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And Tioso Host, thank you for being here and supporting us. Also, with that support thing, don't forget to check out the Daily News Show. Kyle does an amazing job of making sure that the tech news that you need to know about is ready and waiting for you when you get up in the morning. And it's just this 5-minute nugget of awesomeness. And check it out. Now, the thing is, though, it does take extra money to make that show happen. So also go to the BTN website and click the button to send in money and help us keep that show running. There's also a bonus that goes with that. If you throw money at the show, you get extra perks. So it's reward enough just to know you're supporting the show, but you get a bonus on top of that. All right. So with that, don't forget to join us next week for the big show. Don't forget to join us tomorrow for the Mac show, where we do keynote poker and watch all of our predictions for how or everything Apple's going to announce that, well, that we think they will announce at their WWDC keynote on Monday. And which also means you don't want to forget to join us next Friday on the Mac show, where we take a look at how poorly our predictions panned out. So, with that, everyone, have an awesome weekend, and we'll see you next week.